AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
R&B money. We up. Tank. Jay Valentine. We are the authorities on all things R&B.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Tank.
I'm Jay Valentine.
This is the R&B Money Podcast.
Very exquisite.
The authority.
What?
On all things R&B.
Man.
Your musicianship, your professionalism, and your education is in question today.
Yes, it is.
Because he's here.
Who?
Without who?
Keep going.
Who? Because he's here.
Who?
He's here.
Who the fuck is here?
Robert Glasser, ladies and gentlemen. Rob,
shit,
yo. Robert, let's paint the scene before we get into the depths. Let's paint the scene. Yeah,
let's get into it.
You win a Grammy
of many,
right?
of many,
right? Yeah. You win. It's champagne. It's flowers. It's a celebration.
And then,
you look on social media, and you're being mangled by Team Breezy. They on your neck. Shout out to our little brother Chris Brown. Shout out to Team Breezy.
They want to kick your ass,
they are,
man,
on your ass. Full transparency. I'm like, how did Robert and Chris end up in the same section at the club? How did this even happen? And I'm sure Robert was in a section like this. What? I don't want no bottles. What are y'all talking about?
I don't want no bottles.
I don't want no bottles. I don't need no ones.
What I have no idea. About?
I don't have no. Fuck it, give me 2,000. explain your.
Yeah. yourself at the moment.
Well, so the funny part is, so that actually happened with one of your friends. So the first time I won R&B Album of the Year, because I won it in 2012. So yeah, let's just be clear. That's the second time. So 11 years ago, I won for Black Radio 1. And I was up against Tyrese. And I heard he wasn't too happy about that. Somebody told me they were with him at the Grammys. And before they announced who the winner is, he stood up.
Tyrese,
And that was before I was on. I didn't get on IG till 2016 or something like that. So I wasn't even on Twitter and stuff. But, like that, you know. But so Rob, I'm used to.
That makes sense.
You know,
Tyrese sings slow, sultry music.
Right.
He does implore the great musicians to do it. You know, help him with his thing.
Right. Right.
You're in that.
So
in
here's
that
the thing.
Space.
So here's the thing. Me and Chris Brown were in the. In the traditional R&B category, right? That was the category.
They're
traditional.
He doesn't even know.
He should have been in the progressive.
He doesn't even know what he won. He's like, I think what's the
no because
one?
I
what's
have
the, what's them shits called?
No, because my other two that are in R&B are both R&B songs. So gotcha. I also have two R&B song Grammys, mm-hmm. and one of them is a progressive, and one of them is traditional.
Of course you do.
So I wasn't trying to do a bar. I was just saying I have.
It's always you're a bar.
I'm have them. So
you're a bar, my brother. You're
but
a bar.
Technically. I think we were in the traditional category. Okay. Chris should have been in the progressive category.
1,000%.
You know what I mean? Because 1,000%. If you're really doing traditional, my album had all real instruments.
Yes.
No auto-tune.
No, yeah.
I was traditional.
Traditional.
Now, technically, sure. People are like, you shouldn't have been in the category. You shouldn't have. I should have, because that's the album I did. I did an R&B record.
Right.
You know what I mean? Now, I'm a jazz musician also. Mm-hmm. So when I do a jazz record,
right.
Unfortunately, I go and it's a big house and I go, black music is a big house and I like to go room to room. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so sometimes I like to go into the jazz room. Sometimes I like to go into the hip hop room. Sometimes I like to go into the R&B room.
Right.
You know what I mean? So these records are like R&B records. You know what I mean? Now it's more, I feel like in that sense, Chris should have been in the more progressive R&B. You know what I mean? In that sense. You know what I mean? Right. So when I saw I was in the category with him, I also was like, oh, snap, you know?
Yeah.
And I also was like, oh, I'm not winning.
Oh, shit. Okay.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But true transparency, I thought Mary was going to win.
Ah, got you.
I was prepared for Mary to win mm-hmm. because her album was a good record. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the campaign behind the record was very, 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 very strong.
Right.
And she's Mary. You know what I mean?
For sure.
And I just felt like she was going to win. I didn't write no thank you speech, no nothing, because I just knew. I even made a video saying, all right, y'all, I'm going to lose. Watch me lose.
That's probably how you won.
You know what I mean?
Honestly, I gotta make sure whenever I get nominated, that's what I do.
But honestly, like even when I won for Black Radio 1 back in 2012, I didn't think I was gonna get nominated for it. Me and my record company got into an argument because they wanted me to put it in the jazz category. Because you know, you put your album where you think it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
They wanted me to put it in the jazz category because they said that the jazz people know me. And, you know, I was a jazz. All my records beforehand have been jazz records. But I purposely went on tour with Maxwell for 3 years before that record and did the dance with, you know, different. I was in the R&B room for a long time. I was also Bilal's music director for 9 years since he started.
Okay.
We went to college together.
I know that.
Yeah, okay. So me and Bilal went to college together. His first songs were, we wrote them in my dorm room for his first album, you know?
Right.
So,
wow.
Bilal's my longest collaborator, my favorite and longest collaborator, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? So
here's a question.
Mm-hmm.
Have you won a Jazz Grammy?
No, I've been nominated for Jazz Album of the Year.
I wondered about that.
I've been nominated for Jazz Record of the Year, but I've never won. The first Grammy I ever won. No, I've also been nominated for Best Progressive Alternative. When there was an alternative, it was called Urban Alternative. In 2009, there was an Urban Alternative. Before they put out, because you know, the progressive category came after Black Radio. When I won that, then they made a progressive category, R&B mm-hmm. Progressive, you know.
Oh, so you made them.
I pretty much opened that door.
You made them
that's
change.
That's not me trying to keep throwing bars, but that's what happened.
Boy.
That's what happened. You know what I mean? Shout out to also Michelle Nicocello. Because she really, it was the reason why there was an alternative, an urban alternative category to begin with. Because she went in there, campaigned for it because of her music.
Gotcha.
That's why there was an urban alternative category. And I was in there, me and Bilal did a song called All Matter on one of my records in that time in 2009. That was my first nomination. And then that was basically out of the box R&B for black people. You know what I mean? Like, because we were always put in a certain box. If you want to do R&B, if it don't sound like this, then you can't win a Grammy. You know what I mean?
And that's a big reason why we wanted you here.
Yeah.
Because you also represent other sides of contemporary or more popular R&B.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That space.
Right.
Pop R&B or hip-hop R&B. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like you said, you know, they were in a sense creating and finding subgenres of R&B.
Right.
For you to fit in.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. From the music that you were making and what you were bringing to R&B.
Right. Yeah. Because if you listen to it, it's not necessarily jazz. Because they want to make everything I do jazz because my first few records are jazz records.
Right.
So people tend to think everything I do is jazz. It's like, no, everything is not all the way jazz. I'm a jazz musician as well, but I can make an R&B album. I can produce an R&B record.
Right.
I think the Grammys are working on it, trying to figure out how to identify all of these things.
Right.
Because R&B at this point is so many things.
Yeah. And it should be.
And it is.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. And so the people who are figuring out these categories have to be very well versed in understanding what the difference is, what the very differences are. You have a full live R&B album.
Absolutely.
That is as traditional
as it gets.
As it gets.
Yeah. PJ Morton's album, live.
Live.
Musicians. I'm not the only one in the category that's like that.
Exactly.
So really, when you think about it.
So it's like, you two in the category is like, that makes sense.
Absolutely.
But then you have Chris Brown. Even Mary, I wouldn't put so much in that traditional space because she didn't make a traditional R&B album.
Mm-hmm.
She made R&B as we know it, but it's still progressive for us.
Mm-hmm. Well, technically mine is progressive too. When you listen to the album, it's in a sense it's progressive because it's also not a traditional record with the hip hop stuff I'm mixing in there and how, you know.
Yeah, but it's still traditional though.
I hear what you're saying. That's why I feel like
if we're calling Chris Brown progressive, then your albums are night and day.
I feel like it's progressive because most of it's auto-tuned. Also, because of the production is more progressive. You know what I mean?
The production. The production
not that,
is,
first of all, let me be clear. Not that he needs it. Needs auto-tune. That's a choice.
No, but I know what you're
That's
saying.
That's a choice.
It's,
so, yeah,
it's the texture of
the
what
texture
you're
of the sound and
the
everything. His is more progressive for sure in that sense. You know what I mean?
But it's the sonic. Yeah. It's the drums used. It's that the bass stuff. Used.
Right. But
it's
people, the tempo see, used. The way we're talking, people in those rooms don't. Know how to the, do
the,
that.
But the people in those rooms should know.
They should know.
If it's those rooms.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry.
Man. Man.
Really tasty, really scrumptious. Room for me in those rooms. Sorry, off-camera joke, y'all missed it. We'll figure it out.
It spilled over.
Man.
It spilled over.
Exactly. The people in those rooms, these are, and maybe they are, and we don't know.
But those rooms, but ultimately, they change over time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they have to change through us and through us promoting membership and being a part of it.
Now, they just added another category. I believe it's for me again. It's literally, this new category just came.
Okay.
It's starting now. It's a category called, what is it called? Ah, alternative something, something, something. Basically, the category says a category that mixes jazz, hip hop, R&B with vocals or without vocals. And basically, that's what I am.
You.
It's me. Let's just make a
Robert Glasper.
That's what it is.
Section.
Yeah.
So that Team Breezy won't jump you.
Yeah. In that scenario, though, I should have been on the losing end of that. I should have been the one like, why am I in? You know what I mean?
Well, we can't call that because Grammys is as we're, you know, as we had to learn, you know what I mean, in doing the education of it, it's like some of it is impact, some of it is success, and in these different occasions, it's not any of that.
Right. Very true.
None of it.
Very true.
Yeah. Where a bass player can take album of the year. And you're like, who the fuck is Robert Glasper?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So there are those moments, but I think it's like you said, representing in those rooms. And I think the responsibility is on us as well.
Yeah.
Because our participation is needed in terms of trying to help.
Yep.
Yeah.
They would welcome our voices.
Absolutely.
And our opinions. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I mean, and obviously that's part of our job too. Yep. That's part of our job, even with this podcast, is to
educate.
You know, like I run into people on the streets every day, literally, that are just, you know, I learned this from the podcast, or I learned that from the podcast. Yep. Hopefully they learn from the podcast. Listen, join the Grammys. Yep. If you have, you know, I mean, if you know anyone that is actively in the music business and you can get, you know, I don't know the term of it. It's slipping my mind right now, but when someone gives you an invite, and if you can figure out a way to get you an invite and become a member of the Grammys, you should. Absolutely. And now your voice will be heard and you can start running for positions within the Grammys, to, you know, to help and be on the boards and all these other things. Like it's a job. So you can't be mad at the people who actually do the job.
Absolutely. And right? It's a good problem to have. That means the music is changing, it's moving, it's growing. It's breathing. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's not staying still.
Yeah. I've been in the music business a really long time.
Yeah.
And probably the last 4 to 5 years is when I was really introduced to NARIS and the Grammy boards and the committees and that whole thing and how to be a part and how to really have real membership.
Yep.
In the last 4 or 5 years of my career, which is crazy. I've been in this shit a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So because we didn't have platforms like this that were telling us like, no. You can go there and be, you know,
absolutely,
a part of it.
Absolutely.
So did you ever talk to Chris?
Yeah. So we he sent me a message, an IG man, a really nice, you know, apology. I think he posted it on his thing too, but apology. And then we talked a little bit afterwards and he was like, man, you know, he's like, he basically said he was down to work. And I would love to work with Chris. Okay. Is super talented.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I would love to work with Chris Brown. Yeah. You know, so, and I think his fans would love it too.
And I think that, you know, it was, you were right here in the middle.
Yeah, that's all.
Of his kid.
The crossfire.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of him being overlooked a whole lot.
Absolutely. But the funny thing is, I didn't have my phone on me because in real life, I didn't try on my tuxedo for the Grammys till the morning of the Grammys.
And didn't.
Because it was the tuxedo that I wore the year before at the Oscars.
And you thought that you was in the same shape.
There we go. But I actually lost weight.
Oh, that's what I'm, so I like
was,
that.
Was it Steve Harvey on you?
Dude, the pants were too big.
Wow, brother. He always loves to go back to my Steve Harvey suits every time he gets a chance. Every time he gets a chance. Keep going, Robert. Disrespect is going, it's going to stop.
People. Is this a family feud?
No.
See what I did? Because you said Steve Harvey.
Shut up, Robert.
Shut up, Robert. No, so look, my pants are too big, so we ended up having to put paper clips on the side of my pants.
Oh, shit.
To go to the Grammys. When I ended up winning, I jumped up.
And the paper clips
went their way. So I'm running up to the stage. As soon as I get up there, I say, I'm sorry, y'all. My paper clips fell out. Not paper clips. What do you call them? The safety pants. I had to hold my pants up the whole night. Literally, keep one hand like in my pocket to look cool.
So you look like a nigga who was ready to fight.
Boom. Yeah, exactly.
When niggas start pulling up his pants.
Exactly.
You know what's about to happen then. Niggas start hitting.
What'd you say?
But he's...
What'd he say?
So,
because if there's slack in between your thighs, you really can't get your stance right. You got
Black people love to adjust when we're about to fight.
What?
We adjust everything.
You pull your pants up and you take your shirt off.
You do all that stuff.
Hold my chain.
Hold my chain.
Now this chain's going to get in the way of me getting my ass whooped.
No, but my tuxedo jacket didn't have pockets and I couldn't hold my pants, but the phone in my pockets because I had to hold them up. It's too heavy for my pants. So I had like my assistant holding my phone the whole night. I didn't even know none of this was happening until I'm during the actual Grammys, doing the televised portion, and some people were like, "Yo, you're trending," and I was like, "Where?" And then I was like, "Yo, give me my phone." Then I saw all the texts, and all the things, and all what it was. I was like number five trending on Grammy night. I was like, "Oh my God!" I was like, "This is a blessing." Yeah. I was happy.
Yeah.
I was like, "This couldn't have worked out."
I'll take it.
I will take it. This worked out great.
Did you ever
great.
Make the t-shirts?
Oh, absolutely. Sold out of them.
I need one, bro.
I sold out of them.
I need one, though.
But I just made some more for my festival in Napa that I do on July.
Because I do a festival.
Yeah, I do a festival with Chappelle hosts.
The one we never get invited to.
The Chappelle hosts.
The Chappelle hosts with
me. R&B money is...
Never been invited to.
Yeah. Oh, you'll be invited now. And y'all should do the R&B... You should do the podcast there.
I like Napa. I'm from the Bay.
Let's do... Oh, you're from the Bay. Man. Y'all heard it first. I'm going to ask them next year.
He just asked us.
Jazz Napa. Napa.
What do you mean next year?
It's in July.
July what?
July. Well, normally it's like 28, 29, 30.
Okay.
So it just passed. We just did it.
We'll
so
be there.
Next year.
Okay. We'll be there.
Boom. I would love that.
Okay.
But anyway. So
let's get into
it. So, Rob, where you from?
Yeah. Let's get into who the fuck is Robert Glasper?
Where the fuck?
I'm from Houston, Texas. Born and raised.
We love Houston.
So I was raised in church. Watching my mom do that, she had the rehearsals at the house with the cats, the musicians and stuff. So I was just always around music all the time. I went to the high school for performing arts. That's where I met B. Cox.
Yeah.
You know, I actually met B. Cox before that. We were in the competition together.
But y'all were in high school together too.
No, we're in high school together. But I met him in eighth grade at a talent competition. He had a band. He had a group called Business or Pleasure.
Huh. Oh. Whatever you want.
Okay.
Business in the front.
Yeah. Pleasure in the back. No.
Oh, wait. Hold on. What happened?
Pause.
And Cam, get up. Cam, watch that clip.
Oh, shit. So shout out to Peacocks. But we met at a talent competition. And then he told me at that time, yo, you should come to the High School of Performing Arts. I hadn't even heard of it. And I auditioned and I got in. And me, Beyonce was there with us.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
just
and,
me.
Yeah.
Brian Michael Cox.
One of the greatest producers of all time.
Absolutely.
One of the greatest artists of all times. Just, you know.
So it was fun because I used to pick Brian up for school every morning. Me, Brian and my boy Troy, I'd pick him up for school every morning. And I'd be playing my jazz stuff, my Herbie Hancock, my Chick Corea, you know, all my jazz
in
stuff.
In high school.
In high school. And Brian would be playing the R&B stuff and tell me what's new coming out. And he was a liner note freak, you know what I mean? So even back then in high school, read the liner notes of this, that. So that's where our music things like, you know, coexisted, you know, and that's where I learned a lot of R&B stuff and understanding this and that. And, you know, going to the studio with him in high school and Greg Curtis, you know, we were in high school, shout out to Greg. So yeah, man, that was pretty much the fruit of everything. Mm-hmm. You know?
What is your intro into professionalism for you?
The intro to professionalism, I'll tell you, I don't think I've ever said this out loud, and not on a podcast anyway. I was in 11th grade, and I'm in school. These people come to me, they come into the classroom. Robert, those people, I want to need you, get out, go in the hallway. Jennifer Holliday is performing in Houston. Her piano player missed the flight. She's performing in Houston that night. Piano player missed the flight. They came and got me out of school to go play piano with Jennifer Holliday.
So we know this kid.
Yeah.
In 11th grade that can, what?
That will learn the show.
Learn the show. That was my first professional, like on a big scale.
Hold on.
Show.
Serious?
Hold on.
Jennifer Holliday.
Okay, because she's not singing for 15 minutes.
Nah, a show.
She doing about hour and a half, 2 hours.
A show.
You had to be reading music.
Absolutely.
You were reading music at that level in 11th grade?
I had to play in big band, to play in all the things I was in school. My school, it's super high level. You had to, the test and everything, you had to be at it. So when I got into college, it was a joke. College, honestly, was funny. I just went to college just for, because we had to know so much in high school, bro. Like, seriously. So, yeah, I read the show. I did. We did a sound check.
Hold on. He's getting on my motherfucking nerves.
Yo, this shit is different.
Yeah, I called my mom. I was like, Mom, I'm from the office of school, because there's no cell phones. So I was like, Mom, I'm not coming home after school because I'm going to play with Jennifer Holliday. She was like, first of all, my mom's a singer.
Yeah.
So, you know,
she already knows.
Oh, you already know.
What? Yeah.
And the messed up thing is she had a gig already that night, so my mom couldn't come. You know, my mom's worked, she worked 5 days a week.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. 6 days a week.
Okay.
And sometimes on Sunday nights, but not really.
Yeah.
But yeah. And that was my first real like, hello, you know.
This is it.
This is it. And then I got a full scholarship to Berkeley in 11th grade. And the new school in Manhattan. So I chose the new school because it's in New York.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
So what is the new school? Like, we're very familiar
put me
with
onto that.
What's the new school?
The new school is it's a conservatory in New York, and it's the new school is the umbrella, and under that they have a liberal arts school called Eugene Lang, and they have a art school called Pratt.
Yeah,
then they have the new school, which is Mannes College of Music, which is the music part, and it's pretty much a jazz conservatory. Mm-hmm. That's where I met Bilal. Our first day of school, he was there for jazz voice, for jazz vocal,
and you were studying.
I was studying jazz piano.
Jazz piano.
Yep. And then the first day of school, they put all the freshmen in the room, and they put you on stage based upon your scores when you auditioned, and they put me and Bilal up together on stage. The very first day of school, and we did a song together. And then after that, it was
because I'm sure you and Bilal had the highest score.
And after that first day, it was
let's
over.
Put the exceptional people. And then, are you like if whoever was in the crowd? You probably wasn't. You know what? Whatever.
And then it was like, oh, okay.
So,
and then,
someone, if one of our guests comes on, they were like, yeah, I went to the new school, and yeah, I watched. Like, oh, you weren't that
you
good.
You weren't. Your scores.
The scores weren't scoring.
Oh, that! But I'm so tripped out right now about that 11th grade 2 hour Billie Holiday show.
Yeah, Jennifer Holiday.
Yep. I'm sorry.
Yeah, absolutely.
Off the chart.
Yeah, that's great.
That's crazy.
Man, I am telling you all the things. But the good thing about it is, since my mom was a singer. I didn't heard all these Jennifer
You've heard
songs
them.
Before.
And so here's the other part too, that you people, know what I mean? You know, as you're a learned and studied musician, you also play by ear.
Absolutely. Started off by ear first.
Because there's a difference, right? Mm-hmm. I know a lot of guys who have the studied information.
Right.
But when it comes to feel,
it's gone. It's not there.
It's just
you
not,
don't believe them.
Yeah.
I don't believe that. I don't believe you.
So did you play for extra credit or did you get paid?
Oh, no, that was a gig.
They
called me from school, but now we out of school. The gig is a gig. I got paid.
Like, it's very few guys that I've seen with the education and the feel. Like, Tim Carman
and the feel
is one of the first guys, because we all out of the D.C. area, that I saw that was, like, extremely studied.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, we doing that Dreamgirl soundtrack, and he's like, okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm ready.
Yeah.
What do you mean you're ready?
That's what I tell all the cats from church. There's so many incredibly talented people. But if you don't know how to read, you reach a certain
ceiling.
A certain ceiling. And that ceiling, you can only reach a certain amount of money. You can't call yourself the music director of this and that if you don't know how to read.
Pick up a book.
You know what
Sheesh.
I mean? You know, I mean, now you can finagle it. And if you got your friend that know how to write, you know, right
well,
on the
Well, I mean,
blah, blah,
I mean
blah,
now
blah,
it'll
blah.
Transcribe for
but, you.
It you
know, just, all that
it'll
stuff.
It'll transcribe all this about thank you, AI.
You know what I mean?
It'll
but you got to
transcribe the whole thing.
Certain things, you got to, certain situations, you got to know how to read. You got to know how to write. You got to know how to do these different things, you know? So yeah, it's important. It's like I said, there's a ceiling you reach where you just become the killing musician. Everybody's killing. Now what? Everybody's good. You know what I mean? What else you got? You know what I mean?
That's,
what else do you have? Is my thing.
Wow.
Because if you don't even have your own sound, you just sound good. That goes with singing and playing. You know, everybody sounds good now. That's the standard. If you don't sound good, it's your fault. Now, especially with all the information
all the
out
tools.
There.
Yeah,
all the tools
yeah,
out
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
And just all the lessons you need are online. If you suck, it's your fault. You know, but after you learn the tools.
Can you say that one
tools,
more time into your camera? If you suck.
If you suck, it's your fault.
Hmm.
All the tools are out there for you to be good at your instrument, whatever your instrument is, your throat. Your hands, whatever you do, all the tools are out there. So if you're not at least good, it's your fault. Period. That's it. Now, then you can go further, and everybody doesn't have a sound. And that's what I look for when I hear musicians or I hear singers. Or you know, like, what story are you telling?
Right.
I've heard that story before. Mm-hmm. Told better than you. You know what I mean? But if you're telling your own story, I can't hear that before or after.
It's unique.
Like, that's your story. It's unique
story.
To you.
Yeah.
That's why I'll take a singer who has something to say versus the greatest singer who's saying what's already been said. I don't care about that.
Yeah.
Or sounds the same. You know what I mean? That sound, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I was talking about you. Why you wait? I'm trying to tell you, Tank.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite, bro. That's just you and vocals.
That's it.
That's it. No auto-tune, no producers messing it up, no sounds, no nothing, just you and the keys. Pure talent, pure honest story. Every song's amazing. The singing, the songwriting, the plan. It's all great, bro.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
I didn't want y'all know. Jay forced me to do it.
Good. Absolutely. That's the thing that nobody can't do that.
He called me one morning and said, listen, bro, this was like the 18th idea because he's going to get me with 25 first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
He's like, bro, and you should do like a EP, you piano, like just rock an EP, right? Just right now while the world is down and everybody trying to figure it out. I said, Jay, I don't feel like doing an EP. I'm just chilling, relaxing in the house. I ain't bother nobody. No. So I said no to like all 18 ideas, right? And I'll have to call you later. All right. So we get off the phone and I just walk over to the piano and I just start playing music. And I call Jay back about 15 minutes later. I was like, okay, I'm gonna do it.
Bro.
I'm gonna do it. I hear whatever you said jumped into the universe and ran over to my house and hit me over the head and said,
yeah. Yeah. That's how I felt about Jamie Foxx too. I wanted him to do that too.
Yeah.
I said that for years.
Oh no, he would love to do that.
I've never met him. I just love him from afar.
He would love to do that.
He should do
that. That's where he lives.
That's where he lives. In his comedy shows he was doing. Because I remember the first time he did, when I saw him do that, and he imitated Bilal at one of them things. Mm. He did a Prince thing.
Yeah.
And then he went into a Bilal thing. And I called Bilal like, yo, Jamie Foxx just imitated you. He's like, what? And I was like, yo. I was like, you made it. He's like, oh. You know.
Why are you doing his voice like that? You gotta stop.
That's his voice. That's my voice. But when Jamie would do that to shows, I was like, oh man, that's like,
couldn't beat
it's
him.
Real. It's real. That's just.
That was his separation too.
Literally the separation from everybody, because everybody's using the same tools to make the same songs.
Mm-hmm.
You're hearing the same songs over and over again and the same tools. When you're sitting at the piano, just you and your voice, you can't hide behind nothing.
At all?
None.
At all?
Nothing at all.
Okay, so Jennifer Holliday.
Yeah.
Your first gig. Your first big check.
Yeah.
Yep. What's next after that? What does that lead you to?
So that led me to, when I was in high school, I was playing in three churches. I was playing Seventh-day Adventist Church on Saturdays, Catholic Church early Sunday morning, and then Baptist Church around the corner from the Catholic Church at 11.
How different is each church musically?
Well, lucky for me, those three churches I played for were super hip. It was like a movie.
Okay.
The Catholic Church, St. Mark's, shout out. Kim Roy, she passed away, who's the choir director. She was a jazz singer. And the preacher, the priest loved jazz. So we would go in and switch up all the stuff into jazzy stuff. So it wasn't your normal kind of, some things were normal Catholic Church. Some of the hymns they want to keep sacred. Mm-hmm. But most of the stuff, we tore it up.
The jam.
Yeah.
Man, and we would get invited to like different, like, you know, choir days or, you know, choir concerts would be the only Catholic church there.
Wow.
And then they would say on the mic, next St. Mark's Catholic Church. Everybody would be like, Catholic Church? And we'd go up there and
go crazy.
Man. And her husband was an amazing bass player. It's called Derek Roy. Man, he would, oh man, we would kill him. It was crazy. So anyway, that was my situation there. It was dope. And B. Cox, I had him singing in every church. He was in the choir at every church I played at. He was in the choir.
Say he wasn't.
Every church. And his first gig on piano was because I couldn't do the, at my, his first gig on piano was at my Catholic church because I couldn't do a Christmas program. So I had to teach him Hallelujah, the Quincy Jones version. Whatever the
Hallelujah.
Is that Quincy Jones? I forget who it was.
Hallelujah.
That one.
Yeah.
And with all the different parts, you know, all that. I had to teach Brian that on piano. Yeah. So he can learn it and do the thing. So he was sub for me. Yeah. Sub for me at church.
And that's a hard song.
It absolutely is. It's a lot going on. We worked on it.
It's a monster of a song.
Absolutely. So we worked on that.
I'm going to Google it.
We worked on that. But anyway, I ended up going to New York for college. And then, like I said, me and Bilal went on stage the first to work together. I mean, to do a song together in college. And then right after that, one of the professors was like, you guys, they would see us in the practice room all the time working together. Me and Bilal started writing songs and stuff. And they were like, yo, you should do a demo. My friend has a studio. So we started going over this guy's studio house around the corner, and we led a demo, did a demo tape. And Bilal's management at the time took it to Jimmy Iovine, and they played them one of the songs we wrote in my dorm room, a song called When Will You Call? Jimmy Iovine played a verse and a chorus of that, signed him.
Signed him.
Yeah. That's it.
That was it. So he didn't come back to sophomore year to school. So at that point, we did, his first album came out, and I was his music director from that point on until like, till I got signed to Blue Note. I got signed to Blue Note Records in 2005.
Did you do any songs on his album, his debut album?
The very first album? Yeah. I wrote like two or three songs on there. Yeah. And then after that, you know, I got signed, started doing my own things. So around 2007 is when I stopped playing Bilal, but I kept playing for a while. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Touring all over the world with Bilal.
Touring all over the world with Bilal, opening up for Erykah Badu and Common. Because I was doing the time of the neo-soul. This is like 99, 98, 99. You know what I mean? He took me to Jay Dilla's house for his first album. That was one of the first people they had him work with for his album. So I got to go to Dilla's house and work with him on that and all that stuff. And used to go to jam sessions with him, the Roots, you know, play with the Roots. You know, because the Roots was in these jam sessions every week at the spot called the Black Lily in Philadelphia. That's kind of where that neo-soul sound was born, in the Black Lily in Philly.
Is this where Jill Scott was the host?
Yep, she would host it. That's where I saw Jasmine Sullivan when she was like 14 years old in the club, smashing.
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 Of course she was. I'm sure.
I'm like, who's this little girl in here? Why is she in here?
Right.
And why is she singing like that?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Smashing. You know, and, Music Soul Child, all the Philly, you know. And I started playing with the Roots from there because I used to go sit in and jam, and they knew me as Bilal's jazz friend, you know.
And, Bilal's jazz friend.
That's what they knew. Hey, where's your jazz friend at, you know? So Questlove started, you know, calling me to do shows with the Roots. So I started playing with the Roots a lot, you know, cutting my teeth with them. So that's kind of where I learned how to play hip hop. Like,
so did you finish at the New School? Or no, did you leave too?
Just by the skin, I barely finished. I finished because I wasn't there.
So you have a degree in jazz piano?
Yeah. But it means nothing.
And no.
What do you mean?
No,
what do you mean it means nothing?
You don't need it.
No, explain that.
Well, it's a bachelor's degree.
Okay.
So with that.
He just had a Mike Tyson moment.
It
means nothing.
It means nothing.
I just met Mike Tyson like 2 nights ago.
You're not happy. It's nothing.
Yeah. So. I mean, it's a bachelor's degree in jazz piano. So it's like.
It's not hung up at the house? No?
I don't even know where it is. I've never touched it. Except the graduation. I touched it. I think my dad has it somewhere. But it's, you know, you don't need it to do anything.
Because before you alluded to that college was just like, by the time you got to college, it was like.
I was in my last year of everything when I got to college. Because I canceled out of everything they had. So when they give you the test as a freshman, they give you a test for your placement to see where they're going to put you. And I canceled out of everything my first year. So I
know all this.
Yeah, literally. So I just took a bunch of like filler classes.
What is this?
Get this out of here. What is this?
Get this out of here.
This is beneath me.
This is beneath me.
Yuck. Yeah.
Whenever
it's
you see something,
it's daughter is too.
Yeah, you have to go into your African.
What?
Whenever your royal African man.
What?
Whenever something is beneath you. You
cannot bring this to me.
This is you at 18.
This is
me at 18 years old.
New school.
New school.
Yes, this is a new school.
You must be new.
New school is never going to let us come and do a podcast there.
Oh man,
it's him.
This is fun.
Oh man,
this is fun. We want to come. We would love to go.
Because we have no, we don't know what he knows.
We don't. We haven't canceled out of anything.
We haven't canceled out of shit.
I mean, he's been canceled, but.
I need your help, this dude.
Technically canceled maybe like a week.
I need your help.
Oh man.
Gosh,
wow.
Shit. So okay. Yeah. So you're playing with Bilal.
Yep.
You're cutting your teeth. You're meeting everyone.
Yes.
But you still haven't done a record for yourself. And this is
right.
You said like a 9 year, seven, 9 year process.
So I played about 7 years. So I played with Bilal. We're in college. He got signed like 99. Album came out like 2000, 2001. Matter of fact, it was right after D'Angelo's album, the Untitled.
Untitled.
Right after that. Because me and Bilal snuck into the studio to watch them make that. because we were in the same, and we're at all that Electric Lady. Bilal was like studio, the top of the studio C. Mm-hmm. Erica was doing Mama's Gun, studio B. Oh. And D'Angelo's at the bottom, studio A.
I used to record in that studio.
Yeah, that's studio amazing.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we used to go down and, you know, sneak in there and watch some of the recording session and stuff while we were working on his record, you know, finishing up his record. So it was around then. And then I did a demo in like 2002, demo album called Mood. And then Blue Note signed me in like 2005. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I was on Blue Note for till like 2016.
And you put out your first album in what year? 2005?
2005. Right, my first major album. Yep.
Okay. Was that the demo you turned in, or was it
on another label from Spain called mm-hmm. Fresh Sounds.
Another label from Spain.
It was called
Why?
A label from Spain, because they were signing new artists. It was a jazz label, and they would come to New York and find young artists who wanted to do a record, and they would pay you nothing, barely anything, but you could do a record and they'll distribute it and do the whole thing.
Yeah.
So it was just like, oh, that's a cool business card.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Give us the rundown of new artists, new record deal in the jazz space. Is there initially money there?
Hell no. Mm. For 300, please. No, there's no money in jazz. Okay. In jazz, there's no money. There's barely a budget to do the damn record, really. So it's like
for the love.
It's literally for the love. There's no budget because jazz musicians people don't buy jazz. Even before streaming and stuff, you know what I mean? Jazz was such a small part of the whole pie of music, you know, such a small part. So you don't make a lot of money in jazz. Jazz musicians weren't making a lot of money. There was a very few who could cut through and make a decent living, you know what I mean? You know, but other than that, you're kind of like check to check and trying to figure that shit out.
Gig to gig, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So
it's really about gigging.
It was really about gigging a lot, as much as you can gig. That's what it's about. And the love of music. But, you know, after a while, you
get tired of
kids.
So do you have, so within those deals though, the way they're structured, mm-hmm. are they more artist friendly though, since there's no upfront money? Or is it still a bad, you know, royalty rate?
It's a terrible deal, bro. It's nothing. Wow. It was especially back then when you're first getting signed. Most jazz musicians are just happy to get signed.
Right.
You're just happy somebody's going to put your record out mm-hmm. and distribute that joint. You know what I mean? Like literally to make a jazz record back then in 2005, for sure, you know, you're lucky if your budget's like $12,000.
What?
Maybe $15,000. I think it's my first budget. To make the whole album. Because you make an album in like a day.
And to survive.
Maybe 2 days.
And to survive too, though.
That's all. That's everything. Too. Because you got to have gigs. You got to. That's why most jazz musicians, it's hard to rise to the top, because when you do get a record deal, they don't give you money to sustain your life. They just give you money to make that record. So, and your record doesn't crack off at all of a sudden. You're touring the world. That's mm-hmm. not how it goes. So you still playing sideman gigs with different other artists that already have gigs. You know what I mean? Trying to figure it out. So it's hard to become famous in jazz because people keep seeing you with other people as a sideman. That's like being an artist, but you keep having to sing background for these other people, but you are an artist too and you have a record out.
Right.
But if they keep seeing you singing background, it's hard for them to see you as an artist.
As an artist. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Ever. Like most people, that's a lot of people's way. You go through background, everybody done it, you know, but in jazz, you kind of never stop doing background stuff. Everybody plays with each other. You know what I mean? That's kind of how it was. I didn't want to continue to do that. You know what I mean? I wanted to say, no, I want to do that.
So is there a different cachet when you walk into the jazz clubs like, oh, I'm signed to Blue Note?
Yeah.
That does give you a different...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a validation.
Absolutely. And you know, for festivals and things like that, it's a big brother. You know, like, oh, you signed to Blue Note? Okay, because Blue Note has marketing money. They can promote you to a certain extent.
Yeah.
You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
The cool thing about jazz, though, is that it's global.
Mm-hmm.
Like you play, I mean, music too, yes, but mm-hmm. the average R&B singer is not playing in Brussels.
No, true, you're right.
Right? Right. But the average, or not, I won't even say average, the new or established, either one, can catch a gig in Norway,
absolutely
playing jazz.
Yeah.
Bro, I went to Europe with, so I've been touring for years with other musicians and, you know, doing jazz tours around the world since mm-hmm. 1998, you know what I mean? When I started playing with Maxwell in 2009, he used my whole band, Like that was when he came out Pretty Wings and all that, that was my band he was using. So wow. I toured with Max, and on our days off, I would do gigs with my band. You know what I mean?
Like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah. His first time going to Europe was when I was on tour with him, like in 2010.
That was his first time going to Europe?
First time.
And you had been going to Europe since 98?
I've been going to Europe for 12 years before that. 12 years.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Also, because you have to think about it, sometimes it's the language barrier too. When you play instrumental music, there's no language barrier. When you're an R&B singer, it's all about what you're saying. Yeah. You know what I mean? A lot of times, and it's, you know, it's that. So I think a lot of people maybe get scared of that, or also you have to cut your teeth. You have to really tour places over and over again to build an audience there. You have to do that. People don't understand how important that is unless you got a record where it's like, okay, I could tour the world off this one record because it's
connected everywhere.
Connected so much.
Yeah.
Other than that, as an artist, you kind of got to keep going to London.
Yeah, unless you got Pony.
Huh? Yeah.
So unless you kick your career off with I'm Just a Bachelor.
Yeah. You know, like certain places I know I can go and I know I can clear 4,000 people in one show, 5,000 people in one show.
Mm-hmm.
Just me, ticketed, not festival.
Yeah.
But there, because I kept going to that country so many times, so much, and I toured it the right way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I know I can do that.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At 12.
Oh, that's another tune.
Oh, man.
Look at
people don't really know where I got that from, but you picked it out immediately. And it fits with your Superman. Superman. That's where I got that from.
He knows his music. He may not know his math.
That is crazy because I play this every time. And you went to super first grade. Super first grade.
What is it, a bird? It's a plane. Uh-huh.
Robert.
Oh man.
We want some information from you, brother.
Say, don't bring me some tissue.
Your musical journeys. And all the music you've heard. All the music you've covered.
Yeah.
You've got to have some favorites.
I do.
Robert, we want to know your top five.
Yeah.
Your top five.
Say it again.
Top five.
Hey.
Your top five.
What are they?
R&B singers.
What else? So beautiful, don't you agree?
Robert Glasper.
Oh.
Your top five R&B singers.
Top five R&B singers. See, you said R&B. So we're talking about R&B?
We're talking about R&B, but we are also talking about those singers who are influential and instrumental to you.
To you. To Robert.
To Robert.
Okay.
I like that we get to safely say Robert.
Man.
This is great.
Top five singers. All time. Dead or alive.
Yours.
Stevie.
Why not?
Top of the top.
Donnie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kim Burrell.
Yes.
Bilal. This is really hard. Layla.
Layla's a savage.
Ooh, that's a cold list.
Layla's a sheesh.
I mean, it's...
And I've seen Bilal tear a room apart. He wasn't even on stage that long.
No. He's incredible, bro. Most people haven't seen what I've seen. because I've known him for so long.
Right.
I knew him when he was kind of still saved. You know what I mean?
However.
Because Bilal used to, you know, his dad was a Muslim. His mom's Baptist.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay.
So he knows the Quran.
And he's got a lot of information.
And he used to, I've seen the video knocking people out of church. He was 11.
He was a healer?
Yeah. He was an evangelist and healer. Like, it's deeper than most people know.
Got it.
Most people know. It all makes
sense.
He used to be. Got it, man.
Got it.
He was Daryl Coley 2.0 when I met him.
Yeah.
But he was 18. Like, it was crazy.
Great five. Great five.
Yes.
Top five R&B songs.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Your whole While We Wait album. Next.
Wow.
Yeah. Next.
We'll make that one.
You like
that? Make that one. Just one. You got to cover more ground than that, buddy. Yeah. You're not getting out of here that fast.
R&B song. A lot of it, for me, is nostalgia. Because growing up, what my mom was playing and stuff, you know. So I would definitely say one of the songs that made me want to play piano is Giving You the Best That I Got. Anita Baker.
Yeah.
Give you the best I got. I had the 45. I was in fourth grade. Wore that out. I can't help it. Michael Jackson, written by Stevie Wonder.
I wanted to.
That's another one. When I was in third grade, I used to unfold the Off the Wall album and play it back, forward, back for hours. Just sit there reading liner notes. I knew who Greg Fillinganes was when I was in third grade.
Shout out to Fillinganes.
Now he's my Uncle
Shout
Greg.
Out to Fillinganes.
You know what I mean? Uncle Greg. Greg Fillinganes. I didn't know what that instrument was, but I knew I loved the Rhodes. I know what it is now, but I didn't know what it was. But that, bro.
You're not playing at this point.
Oh, no, no.
Because we didn't get to that. What age did you start playing?
I started playing with one finger, Happy Birthday, at church when I was 11.
You didn't start playing until you were 11?
11, yeah.
You were late.
Super late. Another song from my childhood, Isley Brothers, Smooth Sailing.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing but Angela Wimbush wrote it. Smooth sailing tonight.
Really?
Anything that you want from me.
Yeah.
It's mine, yeah, da, da. Ooh, I love that song. It takes you back to a place immediately.
Yeah. I can't remember.
Don't listen to what people say.
Oh, John B.
They don't know about
you. They don't know.
Tell it out your mouth. Oh, come on.
Oh, my God.
That song is such a good song. It's a man.
Jesus Christ, what a song.
That song will never get old.
It will never get old.
It will never get
great
old.
Great song.
It always feels like a first listen. Like, oh, this is just great.
Man. That was, bro.
Let's create a Voltron.
Musical Voltron. Okay.
All right. You're super R&B artist, right?
Okay.
We want to know who you're going to get the vocal from, who you're going to get the performance style from, who you're going to get the styling from, who you're going to get the passion of the artist, the heart of the artist, right? And who's going to play for that artist? Who's going to MD that band?
MD the band.
So let's start off with the vocal. You get one vocal to build your super R&B
Stevie.
Artist.
Easy. You know why? Because like when you say Stevie, it's like, which Stevie? Because there's a million of them. He doesn't have one Stevie voice.
Right.
There's a million of them.
He misses at no tempo.
Pick one.
He misses at no tempo.
No tempo, no year.
Yeah.
No year.
Period.
Okay.
Performance style.
Michael Jackson.
Stevie, Michael Jackson. Okay.
Just purely when you walk out on stage going crazy. No one has the Michael Jackson effect.
No. You stand there and watch him
You
scream.
Just fucking stand there.
Yeah, yeah.
Before you even do anything, you stand there.
Yeah.
And then you start doing stuff.
We all got the stand there
and then
from Michael Jackson.
Absolutely.
It doesn't always go the way it went for Michael Jackson, but.
Yeah. But come on, man.
I just seen a couple niggas stand there and be like,
have y'all
hey,
come
man,
on,
get to your
sing,
shit.
Your, sing your shit, man.
Have you ever seen them live?
It's the styling of the artists.
Like what they're wearing?
Yep.
Yeah.
Can't do Michael twice. I like to. Yeah,
you can't. I can't do whatever you
why
want.
Can't you?
Just for sake of being.
Why?
Just for sake of like
of
you know.
Sake of what?
Of who?
Just some different shit. Let me just see. Let me see.
Okay.
That might be fun. Prince.
That might be fun.
Stevie Michael Prince.
That might be fun.
That could be fun.
This
could be
is
fun.
Great. No, yeah. This is great.
Yeah.
This is great.
Yeah.
Because of the first two,
you don't know
you're
what
gonna
you're
have
gonna
to
get.
Accept. Whatever he has
you're
on.
Gonna, that for sure.
Yeah.
Whatever he has
you're gonna
on.
You're going to be rolling with whatever
and,
that level of talent
And
has
then he's
on.
Going to bring his guitar.
And you don't even know what it's going to be when he shows up. You have no idea.
You have no idea.
With Michael, you kind of know what the vibe is.
Yeah.
Prince, you don't know.
Because Prince going to bring the work with him, too. He going to bring the, you know what I mean? He going to bring the you feel me's. He going to have a couple of you feel me's with him. You know? No, he's not. Okay. I mean, shit.
You feel me.
If it's Prince, he got to have some you feel me's.
He keeps some you feel me's.
Apollonia.
He keeps some you feel me's.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? A Wendy, a Lisa.
When I met him once.
A Sheila E.
He had like 11 you feel me's.
Yeah.
And they all had on yellow.
Yeah. 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 A Maite. You know what I mean?
It's your feel me game.
It's all the way here. You know what I mean? I got on your feel me right now. I have one of your feel me. You got to have a you feel me. Yeah.
I like that.
The passion of the artist, the heart of the artist. Who mean it?
James Brown.
Mm. Oh, hey, man. This might. No, it's not even Mike. You got the.
That's
you
like
have the Voltron.
Top five. I mean, Voltron of all times.
Stevie Wonder, Michael Jackson, Prince, and James Brown.
All pioneers.
Absolutely.
All changed the game.
All
at some port.
Game changed.
Some
all pioneers.
Yeah.
Who's the MD for this artist?
Who's making it all go right?
I might. The MD might be Earth, Wind & Fire.
Have them do the musical. Oh, my God. Because I just thought you were going to say, oh, it's Alan Blackstone.
No, but said, you know, like.
Earth, Wind & Fire.
Because they're dealing with
the
show.
Yes.
They know how to do a show.
Yes.
You feel me?
First time I saw Earth, Wind & Fire live, I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
How many members are in Earth, Wind & Fire?
It's only, what? It's only four, though, or something like that.
Technically, like Maurice, he was
the lead.
The
Mo,
lead.
Verdeen.
Philip. Yeah, in there.
I think it's just
that
was
really
like
Earth, Wind,
and
Fire.
But
the band is the band.
They're on. Yeah, they're on. Yeah. The whole that's everywhere.
That was my second concert ever. Michael Jackson was my first.
Oh,
I was seven. I was 12 when I saw Earth, Wind, Fire. My mom made me go see them. She said, you want to be a musician, right? It was Saturday morning. She woke me up. Come on, we're going to see Earth, Wind & Fire. They're at the Houston Rodeo. And I was like, Mom, sleep. I don't want to go. She said, boy, get your ass up. Then go see Earth, Wind & Fire. Mom, good. You want to be a musician, don't you? She almost spanked me for not wanting to get up and go. Made me go.
Shout out to your mama.
Shout absolutely. Mama. Rest
shout
in peace. She gone.
Mama.
But
all right, bro. We can't let you leave just yet.
Yeah, we can't. We can't. What we gonna give
them? I ain't saying no names.
Huh?
I ain't saying no names.
Oh.
I ain't saying no names. Saying no names. Where you was? Who you with? What you did? Don't say shit. I ain't saying no names.
Yeah.
Whoa. Oh my God.
So right now,
oh shoot.
Very important segment of the show.
Yeah.
I ain't saying no name.
Right.
Will you tell us a story, funny or fucked up?
Yeah.
Or funny and fucked up?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And these travels.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Of these jazz R&B travels.
Mm-hmm. Hip hop.
Bebop, bibbidi dibbidi bop, all of that.
All of it.
Every genre. Everything you got a Grammy in.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Of Robert Glasper, the things you've seen, things you might have experienced that was funny and fucked up. The only rule to the game.
Yes.
You can't say no name.
No names.
Gotcha. The only rule to the game.
No. Gotcha. Okay, so I'm gonna, and I guess this point there was no cell phones allowed, maybe. But I was doing a gig. Let's leave it at that. And I don't think there were any cell phones allowed. And that's why. But this particular singer was also had a church.
Okay.
Was an R&B singer.
Okay.
Or was preaching. I don't know if they had a church or.
Yeah.
Maybe they did. Maybe they didn't. I don't know. And this person was actually on a TV show I had just saw that was talking about the religious part of this person's life now, like, you know, very religious.
Yeah.
I was like, oh man, that's great. I just saw it like the night before. So I'm doing this show and this person shows up to the show. I was like, oh man, this is great. Big fan. And so I'm playing the person sitting in the front row while I'm doing my show. So at the end of the show, I hit this vamp and I kind of sing to the person like, you want to sing? And they're like, okay, sure. And they come up and they say, everybody's grown in here, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, yeah. And then the first words the person sang was, the first lyrics were, I don't mind hair in my teeth. That's the first.
Whoa.
First thing. Mind you, I'm sure everybody in this room knows that this person is now a preacher. Like, that was a, it was a thing.
Oh, man. Whoa. So, oh, this is great.
I'm not thinking that's what's going to come out of this person's mouth. But this person continues to talk about eating pussy for about 10 minutes in song form. And when that happens, another person who I didn't know was there, that is in the gospel world, big time in the gospel world, runs to the stage, jumps on stage, grabs the mic from that said person, and prays for him.
No way.
Prays for him, gives the mic back, runs back off stage. And that was the end of my show. It was so amazing.
Oh, that is great.
It would be more amazing if you knew the names, but can't say the name, not saying the names.
What?
But that's the most recent, the most recent funny, like seriously funny thing. And the fact that like there were no phones really. Yeah. So it was even more like you had to be there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's an urban legend.
Yeah, absolutely. It was great.
Don't mind getting hair in your teeth.
The first line.
First line.
I don't mind getting hair in my teeth.
Are you biting the pussy? Are you,
is everybody grown in here?
Is everybody grown in here?
Are you biting?
I like to bite it.
You never know. Some girl might like a little bite. You know? Man.
I've never met one.
That is great.
Bite it.
Whoa. Bite it. And then now pit bull it.
Man, here he go with this bullshit.
Give me the wop walla. Just wop out of here. Okay, not your wop walla.
Just start naming dogs.
I gotta deal with this shit every day.
The hyena.
I know a singer that sound like that.
Man, but we ain't saying no names.
We ain't saying no names.
Brother Robert Glasper.
Yes, yeah.
Man, we love you, brother.
Thank you for pulling up on
us. Appreciate you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
We appreciate, you appreciate keeping what we love and what we do in the forefront.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on there.
Thank you for having us.
I'm getting it out in the world. Tank, I want to do a song with you.
No, what do you mean?
As soon as possible.
Okay, good. Done.
Letting the world know this.
Okay.
Right here.
Has to happen.
Cool.
You see it.
I'm saying it. I would like a Grammy.
I'm saying it. So me and Tank.
I would like to be in a category. I don't belong.
Grammy together.
Yeah.
Grammy together.
I think we could do that.
Yeah.
I'm really serious.
I'm
though.
Pretty sure.
Absolutely.
We can do
it. Yeah. For sure.
No, and in thanking you, brother, even for just being just a solid guy too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So for those that don't know, I ran up on Glasper. I'm known to run up on people. It's kind of a thing.
Kind of a thing.
If I fuck with you.
Yeah.
If I fuck with you, I'm going to run up on you. I'm going to tell you how dope you are. And right. I'm going to invite you to the podcast.
Word up.
So I'm at the, you know, the Adam Blackstone, Miss Diddy event.
Shout out to Adam. That's my
shout
guy
out,
right there.
Shout out.
Absolutely.
Amazing artists that come up there and perform. And you grace the stage that night. And I was like, and this funny thing is, yes, I will run up on people that I know. Mm-hmm. Usually, like, you know, if it's my homie, but we didn't know each other.
Right.
We didn't know each other. And I'm right. like, you know what? Mm-hmm. I'm going to say how talented this man is, for one, which I have no problem with giving people their props. But mm-hmm. then also I'm going to say, hey, man, we need you on this podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We respect what you do. BT, respect what this man does. Yeah. And, you know, invite him to the BT Awards and the Soul Train Awards and every other award that y'all do.
I have a Soul Train Award.
And you have one?
Yeah, I forgot. I have one for Black Radio. The year before Dr. Nillies passed away.
Were you invited to the Soul Train Awards to get it?
No.
Man!
But I won. I won for Black Radio. I forget what the category was. I think it was, I feel like it was Best Jazz Album, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I have the Silver Train, like the actual award. And it was when Don Caliz was still alive.
That's the train right there?
Yeah. I forgot about that.
Man. But yes, bro. Yeah. Thank you, because, you know, you kept your word. I ran up on you. I said, hey, bro. And the funny thing is, when I ran up on you, it was like, Jay Valentine.
Yep. I knew you. I love your podcast. I've been wanting to get on your podcast. I've been with people, and they've been telling, like, one time I was with Brian. He's like, yeah, I'm doing the podcast tomorrow. R&B. I was like, oh, one time I was with Stokely. And he literally then. I brought him out here to do something, and he had to do your podcast.
Okay,
he was performing with me somewhere.
That's dope.
So we worked the same time. Like, there have been so many people that are about to go do your podcast. I was like, I want to do that podcast.
Dope.
So I'm really glad y'all invited me on here.
Thank you, brother.
I appreciate y'all.
Thank you for pulling up on us.
Absolutely,
man, for real.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Tank.
I'm Jay Valentine,
and this is the R&B Money Podcast, the authority on all things R&B. And this is a guy, man.
Traditional, progressive,
whatever.
All R&B.
All R&B.
Yeah.
Super first grade himself.
I'm happy to get a shirt that says super first grade.
R&B Money.
R&B Money is a production of the Black Effect Podcast Network. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Don't forget to subscribe to and rate our show. And you can connect with us on social media at Jay Valentine and at The Real Tank. For the extended episode, subscribe to youtube.com/R&B Money.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.